This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. Imagine a surgeon spending years operating for free in hopes that the good exposure brings in business down the road. Or a college professor placing an open suitcase at the front of the class, hoping to get tips from students after each lecture. Absurd as it may seem, artists are routinely expected to scrape by on financial models that few other professionals would, or could, embrace. Michelle Aldridge is the creator of the arts website Quarlingo, where she recently wrote a meditation of sorts on the relationship between creativity and cash. It's called If Other Professions Were Paid Like Artists. Here she is speaking with Virginia Prescott.
Now, you write about an artist and a friend who felt that maybe she was being taken advantage of by the people closest to her. Can you tell us that story?
I can. This was a Facebook post that she did, and it was just mid-February, and she's a professional artist and graphic designer, and she decided to count up how many times she'd been asked to do something for free. And just 6 weeks into the year, she had already been asked 8 times, which is, you know, it's more than once a week. So it raised an important question in my mind. Is it ever okay for professional artists to give work away for nothing? And I'm not talking about hobbyists or giving gifts or doing trades, but professionals, you know, giving away their work. And often it's arts organizations and museums who are some of the worst offenders.
Is that who was asking her?
Yes, it was. Mostly museums and some arts organizations. And that just raised some red flags for me. It's not always arts organizations, though. There was this great article this week in Adweek about Dan Cassaro, and he was one of several graphic designers who got an email from Showtime asking him to submit some free professional design work to a contest. And the grand prize was a trip to Vegas and the chance to have his work seen at the MGM Grand during a high-profile boxing match.
So
Cassaro published his email exchange on Twitter, and it's gone viral. And he totally shamed Showtime. And this is his reply. He said, "It is with great sadness that I must decline your enticing offer to work for you for free. I know that boxing matches in Las Vegas are extremely low-budget fairs, especially ones with Floyd Money Mayweather. My only hope is that you can scrape up a few dollars from the grassroots event. If that happens, you might consider using some of that money to compensate people for doing the thing they are professionally trained to do."
So a lot of artists have stories like this.
They do. It's right. Very, very common.
Why are artists much more likely to be taken advantage of, or maybe even more importantly, why are they letting themselves be taken advantage of?
That's a good question. I think it's complicated. There is some misperception that, you know, art is fun more than it's work. Making a living as a professional artist, it certainly isn't easy. And there are certainly those who don't rely on their creative work for income. So their relationship to their work might be different than someone who's struggling or starting out. And I just think it's time for artists to discuss this topic openly so we can assess the larger effects that this is having. Is it devaluing creative work as a whole? You would never walk into a doctor or dentist's office and ask them to donate their services. Doctors may do pro bono work, but they have that luxury of having that choice. They're not struggling to pay their bills.
Well, even for established artists like musicians, for example, this is a big deal going on in the record industry, obviously. They're making records, making like pennies on royalties if they're played on Spotify or that kind of thing.
That's right. That has been that market reality has been a real tough thing for musicians. So artists are having to adjust. So on the one hand, it's much harder to get a good record deal with an indie label because music sales aren't what they used to be. That's not where the bulk of the money is coming in. On the other hand, it's much easier for musicians to bypass gatekeepers like record labels and go directly to fans. So some people will pay money for a song. Others are simply going to listen to money for free. But the model shifted, so now bands and musicians are making most of their money from touring and merchandise.
Well, do you think there's a perception there are types of or fields of art that are more legitimate to be paying for? So for example, a craftsperson or a furniture maker, you know, producing a table for you deserves to be compensated more substantially, or at least deserves, you know, wouldn't be asked for a table for free like a video installation maker or maybe a painter.
That's right, because there are those materials. People can see the end product, what they're getting for their money. Of course, legitimate is a loaded word. Mm. We could spend a whole show on that topic. but your question gets to the larger issue of the value we place on various art forms as a culture. You know, as Americans, we place a high value on film and television, for example, a lower value on classical music and painting. So does art need to be useful like a table or accessible like television to be valuable? Well, no. But are we good at recognizing creative genius when it's right in front of us? You know, no, we get that wrong all the time. So artists like Vermeer or Cezanne die in obscurity and poverty.
And others had patrons, you know.
That's
right.
How
do you do it?
That's right.
I'm talking about the financial models by which artists get paid and are sometimes taken advantage of with Michelle Aldridge. She's a creator of the arts website Guarlingo, looks at a lot of different aspects of living as artists, and recently wrote about how artists get paid. Well, you, one of the things you acknowledge is that a lot of people bring a lot of personal baggage about the relationship between art and money into their career. So what are some of the most pervasive myths that you think artists carry about the value of their work?
Yes, good question. I think money is sort of a dirty word for artists. Not in the art world for certain, but with artists. And if money were most important to them, most of them would have, you know, chosen to be a stockbroker. Mm. But money is not inherently evil in and of itself. It allows for flexibility and freedom. So one major money myth is that money corrupts in and of itself and that somehow having it is going to make you, you know, less of an artist. Other myths, you know, pricing work so that your friends can afford it instead of pricing it for your ideal market, believing that giving work away for free will lead to being discovered. You know, it's a small chance. And also that pricing appropriately is a kind of selling out, that if you charge what your time and energy is worth, that somehow, you know, you're greedy or materialistic.
Well, let's talk about pricing for a minute, because I find that so interesting. You know, the art market is not born in a vacuum.
No.
There's a lot that goes into pricing. And I have it on very good authority, as in an artist who told me this, that what she's making, and I won't divulge what that is, but somebody just suggested her add an O to the end of that, and you will sell like hotcakes. And that has happened for her.
Wow,
so,
that's great.
You know, a $400 object becomes a $4,000 object, and it works for her. So, you know, what does pricing appropriately mean when the art market is all about what people will pay?
So whether it's an art or craft or creative service, I think you should price according to the market you want to be in versus the market you may be currently in, which could be, you know, selling to your friends or neighbors or something like that. You want to have aspirational pricing, if you will. And that doesn't mean, you know, being ridiculous, but like your friend adding a zero, there is a perception that if something costs more, it has more value. Mm-hmm. So pricing too cheaply can actually shoot you in the foot.
You talked about the concept of dirty money, and I've heard many artists, you know, people who are admired for their creativity, guided by their creativity, say they hate the business side and can't market themselves. Is this, Michelle, still an option in the world where there are fewer gatekeepers and you are selling yourself to the world?
That's right. I think that more artists need to think about the business side, and schools are terrible about this, art schools in particular. There are some organizations like Creative Capital who have workshops and various resources for artists to teach them the business side of the work. But you can't just make your work and expect people to find you. You know, attention to detail is very important. So that means a great website, your business cards, your artist statement, all of these things. These are things that I have helped some artists with. And as someone who writes about art, I am constantly appalled at some of the websites that I see that are, you know, out of date and just don't do the job. So these are things that artists need to pay attention to. And I think you can't be good at everything. So if you're not good at writing or web design, then find someone who is. And you could, you know, there are volunteers out there at centers who can help you. Or maybe you could barter, you know, you could trade work. I've done that before. I've done a writing job in return for visual artwork. So there are ways to get that work done if you're not good at it yourself. So learn to ask for help.
So there are a number of forces, you know, from, you mentioned museums and arts organizations, but people, worthy causes asking artists to donate their work for free. What is the responsibility of the artist in this?
Learn to say no, or at least ask for some kind of compensation for your work. Remember that saying yes to a free job may mean not having time or energy for paying work later. Mm. On the other hand, the burden of responsibility also rests at the feet of these organizations and businesses who are exploiting artists to a degree. So if you take a charity auction event, for instance, odds are the caterer is getting paid. The bartender is probably getting paid. The company renting that space out to the organization is getting paid. So why not the artist too? And if not, just say no. It's a lesson we all need to learn, right?
That was Michelle Aldrich, creator and curator behind the arts blog Guarlingo, speaking with Virginia Prescott. You can find a link to Michelle's article, If Other Professions Were Paid Like Artists, at wordofmouthradio.org.
Everything is free now. That's what they say.
Currently, there are 3.2 million Girl Scouts across the U.S., but did you know that some of those Girl Scouts are, well, not really girls anymore? We'll hear from an adult Girl Scout after the break.
Someone hit the big score. They figured it out. They were gonna do it anyway. Even if it doesn't pay.